Shalom to all! Today we're learning Shalom Yuma, Per Gimel, Halacha Ches, and Lo Ezra Hadar Tzurz Hadav, that's on Daf Chav Beis, and the article Tzurz Hadav, that's on Chav Dalid, and today's Daf is sponsored Lilo Nishmas, Marsh Mem Sar Bas Riakam Moshe, Hernish, Amosh Hav and Aliyah. And then she continues with Avodaka and Godlan Yom Kippur, Bali Le Mizrach Azara, Litzafan Amizbeach. You now come to the east of the Azara, which is north of the Mizbeach. We're going to explain to the Gemara exactly whose Shita this is. Hasgan Mina Vrish Besav Ismaili, the Skan, which is the deputy Kohen Gadol, he's the second in command, if you will, he's on the right, and the Rish Besav, he's the head of whatever group of Kehanim is serving that week in the Beis HaMikdash. He's on the Kohen Gadol's left. V'sham Shnei Se'irim. Over there are two goats. We know that one is the Sar LaHashem, one is the Sar LaZazel. How is that determined? So here the Mishnah says, V'kalpi HaSasham, there's a lottery box there. U'bashnei Garelis, there are two lots inside. Shal Shkuraya Hayu, they're made out of a Shkuraya wood. And Vason Ben Gamla Shal Zav, Ben Gamla, he made them into gold. It was a private donation from his own pocket. And V'hoi Maskirnos LaShevach, they mentioned them in a praiseworthy manner. And once we're on the topic of somebody adding something nice to the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah continues, Ben Katin, who's a Kohen Gadol, also Shnemasar Dad L'Kiyar, he made 12 faucets for the Kiyar, Shalayu Bayal Shnaim, originally there was only two, and Afu also Mukhni L'Kiyar, he also made some sort of mechanism for the Kiyar, Shalayu Membam Nisam Belina, so that the water of the Kiyar shouldn't become possible Belina. We've mentioned this earlier in the Masechta, and really had more of a focus on it in the previous Masechta Shkalim. We know that anything left in a Kli overnight in the Beis HaMikdash is possible Belina. Lina literally means sleeping overnight. The water in the Kiyar is possible if it's left overnight, and so the way to prevent this was by putting the entire Kiyar inside a bar, a pit, or a cistern that was in the floor of the Azara. That way it's connected to the water table, meaning it's connected to the actual spring where the water comes from, and then it's not possible Lina. And so this Ben Katan made this whole mechanism to make it easy to lower and raise it from the bar to prevent it from becoming possible Lina. The Mishnah gives more examples. Munbaz HaMelech, also Kol Yodis HaKelem Shem Yom Kippur Shal Zav, he made all the handles of the Kelem of Yom Kippur out of gold, and Hilani Imai, Hilani Amalka, who was Munbaz's mother, also Nivresha Shal Zav, Al Pischa Shal Hechol, she made a golden Nivresha, which the Gemara is going to discuss what exactly that is, at the entrance of the Heichal, and Avhi also Tavla Shel Zav, She Parsha Saita Kasuva Aleha, she also made a golden tablet that the Parsha of a Saita was written on, so that when a Saita came to the Beis HaMikdash and they had to write down a whole Parsha, a whole bunch of Psukim on parchment, they didn't have to take out a Sefer Torah because they had this tablet. And lastly, Nikonar Nasu Nisim Ledal Saisav, there was a fellow named Nikonar who donated doors to the Beis HaMikdash, and a great nace happened to those doors, V'haymas Kirnas L'Shevach, and they mentioned him in a praiseworthy manner as well. Straight away, the Gemara asks in the beginning of the Mishnah, Izu Tzfani Shel Mizbeach, Shukash What's the north of the Mizbeach? That's kosher for the Shechit of Kachi Kachim. What the Gemara is really asking is that right at the beginning of the Mishnah, we had said that the Kohen Gadol goes to the north of the Mizbeach in the east of the Azara. The question is, according to whose opinion is the east part of the Azara also considered north? So we quote verbatim what we had at the beginning of yesterday's daf. It was also right here at the beginning of the Gemara after the Mishnah. Mekir Shal Mizbeach Tzfaini, Va'ad Kesel Azara Tzfaini, Ad Keneged Kol Mizbeach, Yoshan Kishloshim Mishnaim Amma, Divrei Reb Yais Reb Yehuda, that's proper Gersa, that's Reb Yais Reb Yehuda's Shita, namely, only the northern part of the Azara, which corresponded to the Mizbeach, that's considered north. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Omer, he says, Mekeneged Beis HaChalifas, Akeneged Bein Ha'ulam VaMizbeach, Vad Kosel Azara Mizrachi, that it's extended northwest, even that's considered north. And here's the sheet that we're looking for. Rabbi Moisef, Makom Jesus Ragli Yisrael, Achas Yisrael Amo, Makom Jesus Ragli Kanam, Achas Yisrael Amo, Mekir Shal Mizbeach HaTzfaini, Vad Kosel Azara Mizrachi. The Rebbe adds on that even the eastern area of the Azara, where Yisraelim and Kaihanim are allowed to walk, that's also considered north of the Mizbeach. As we see, this Mishnah is going according to Shita's Rebbe, because where the Kohen Gadol was standing was in the east of the Azara. It was actually right by the entrance of the Azara, which is east, but it's also calling it north. So we see that's Shita's Rebbe. And now going on to the next part of Mishnah, where we mention the Sagan, the Gemara tells us, Chamisha Dvarim Hayah Sagan Mishamish. There are five things that the Sagan used to do. This was like his main job, if you will. Number one, Hasgan Oimer Loi. The Sagan would tell the Kohen Gadol, we're going to see this in the next Mishnah, Ishi Kohen Gadol, my master Kohen Gadol, Hagbe Yemincha, raise your right hand so that we could see which of the lots is inside it. Another thing is Sgan Mimina of Rosh Beisav Ismailai, as we just saw in our Mishnah, the Sgan is on the right of the Kohen Gadol, and the Rosh Beisav is on the left. And actually, any time the Kohen Gadol made a public appearance, the Sgan would be on his right side. Chavizon Beis on top. Heinefa Sgan Besudarin, the Sgan would wave a kerchief, and that was a signal to the Levim to start singing Shir, because they could only start singing when the Nisach Hayayin took place. So he was with the Kohen Gadol on the Mizbeach, and when the Kohen Gadol was doing Nisach Hayayin, he would wave this kerchief to let everyone know they could start singing Shir. Number four is Achas Sgan Bimina of Aleu, as they're walking up the ramp in the Mizbeach, the Sgan would hold on to the Kohen Gadol's right arm or right hand and help bring him up. And lastly, the Kohen Gadol couldn't become a Kohen Gadol until he first was a Sgan. It was basically like training, if you will, that if you want to be the Kohen Gadol, you couldn't just be regular Kohen. You first had to be the Sgan, then you can be appointed as Kohen Gadol. On to the next part of the Mishnah, we said, the question is, what exactly is Ashkaraya wood? And the answer is, Paskinon. It's Paskinon wood. According to some, this is boxwood. According to others, it's cypress wood. Either which way, way, it was a very chashuv type of wood. The Mishnah then told us that Ben Gamla made them into gold. So questions as follows. Rav Shmuel Achi de Rav, Rav Shmuel the brother Rav, but he asks as follows. Avdu, ma'u lasu tachtein shel zav. Let's say these gold ones got lost. Do they have to make the new ones out of gold, or could they make them out of wood? And the answer is Yevah Kadol. Let's bring from the following. Shemalin b'kadosh v'lo miridin, where always go up in kadosh and not down. This specifically comes from Maseches Shkalim, where Mishnah talks about all the different shachanis or different tables in the Beis Hamikdash and what they were used for, and describes two of them, one made out of marble, one made out of gold. Both of them were placed in the ulam. The marble one was to put the lechem apanim on before it was placed on the main shulchan, and then the gold one was for the lechem apanim. When they were taken off of the shulchan, they were put on the gold one. Why so? Because malan b'kadosh, let me read in. So you start out with marble and you end up with gold. Same thing over here. Even though originally the lots were made out of wood, once they were made into gold, if they got lost, we have to continue making them out of gold. We now go on to the next thing, where we said that Ben Katan made 12 dadin, 12 spouts for the kiyar. So the question is, v'yasu dadin zal gabeze, why not make a bunch of spouts, one on top of another, so it doesn't just have to be 12. He can make 24, one on a lower level, one on the upper levels. Why'd he stop at 12? So Rambam, he answers, kiyam rubishal tamid. The only reason why he even made 12 was because sometimes, as we've had earlier in the Masechta, the tamid was brought with 12 different kaihanim, and therefore he wanted to enable all those kaihanim to wash their hands simultaneously, so he made a total of 12 spouts, but we didn't need more than that. But now we have another question regarding the kiyar. Everyone agrees that the water of the kiyar has to be like the water of a mikvah, so it can't be mayim she'uvim, it can't be drawn water, which means that it can't be coming out of a kli. And the big problem is that the kiyar basically is a kli, and that's what the Gemara describes right now. Ha'elin mishum kli paches berubai. The upper part of the kiyar was made out of two parts, so the upper part is not really considered a kli because the majority is open. Paches berubai means majority of it is not there, because basically it's only a top without a bottom. The top part of the kiyar led to the bottom part, so that's not a kli. However, v'atachtoin ein by mishum avir shel kli, doesn't the bottom part of the kiyar possel whatever water is inside, because in the airspace of a kli, in other words, it's inside a regular kli, so it's mayim she'uvim. How could the kohanim ever wash their hands and feet from the kiyar if it's mayim she'uvim, because it's in a kli? So Rav Shmuel Levi, he answers, amas hamayim ha'isam meshechas loy me'etam. There was a fresh spring of water that was fed into it, that was from Etam. It was a place right outside Har HaBayis. It was elevated, it was actually above it, so the water could flow downwards, and it was a natural spring, so its waters were kosher to be used for the kiyar. But Yirakal Shebedarim Pchusim Kriyimayim. This is the key over here. The feet on the southern part of the kiyar had a big hole in them the size of a pomegranate. Now, how does this help? So we know that if we have a kli that's tame, for example, and we want to make a tahar, so we could either put it in the mikvah, or we can make a hole in it, rendering it non-usable as a kli, and that hole has to be the size of a pomegranate, and so now it's not considered a kli, so it loses its status of tama. Or by that same token, it can't become tame in the first place because it's not considered a kli. And that's what we just said they did to the kiyar. The legs on the southern part of the kiyar had these huge holes in them. That was the way they actually got refilled with water, and that also makes them not a kli, and therefore the kaihanim could use the water because it's not considered mayim she'uvim. And obviously you're asking, well, if they have the big hole in them, so then had the water not fall out? Well, that's because when the kiyar was placed on the floor of the azara, the hole was stopped up because it was now placed on the floor. Now, that doesn't mean it's considered like it's fixed, so it's still not a kli, and so this hole takes care of the issue. Now, we have something similar. Rav Shimon Karson says, B'shem Rav Acha, Hayam, Beisvil Kaihanim Hu. This yam, which he had mentioned previously, is called the Yam Shel Shleimai. It was like this massive copper pool that Shlomo Melech made. It was meant to be a mikvah for the Kaihanim. As the Pasuk says, Vayam L'Rochzal Kaihanim Bai. And the problem is, V'lai Klihu, isn't it a kli? It's basically a big copper pool, as we just said. So how are they able to go to the mikvah in it? It's Mayim She'uvim. And the answer is, same thing. Amas Hamayim Meshech HaSleim Eitam. This fresh spring of water flowed into it from Eitam. V'hayu Ragli Shvarim Pechusim Kriminim. And the legs of the ox had holes in them like Riminim. Now, what does that mean, the oxen? So there weren't actually live oxen holding it up. It had 12 legs that were in the shape of oxen. And so there also, some of them had holes in them the size of Riminim, so the water could flow into them. And that way it's not considered a kli, so it's a perfectly fine mikvah. Now, once we're mentioning Kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, we bring up something similar. Ksivit says in the Pasuk, Ve'elim Esparam, these are their numbers. This is referring to the Kelim that Koiresh took out and gave to the Yidden to be used in the Beis HaMikdash. This is at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. Nebuchadnezzar had taken these from the Beis HaMikdash and put them in the house of his idols. So now Koiresh took them out and gave them back to the Yidden. And how many were there? Agartali Zahav Shloishim, 30 Agartalim of gold. And what exactly is this Agartal, which, by the way, in modern Hebrew means a vase or a vase, depending on how you pronounce it. But what were they used for? So Shulver Nachman Omar, that Makam Sha'agrim Bay Dam Shal Talet, that's the place where the blood of a sheep is stored. Sheep don't have so much blood, so they used gold ones, catching the blood of sheep when they shechted them in the Beis HaMikdash. The Pasuk also says, Agartal Kesef Aleph, there's 1,000 Agartalim of silver, and Rav Shimon Lakishamer, he says, Makam Sha'agrim Bay Dam Shal Par, this is used for the blood of a bull, which has much more blood. And then the Pasuk says, Machalfim, Tishav Esrim, Machalfim, there's 29. What's Machalfim? Amar of Simon, and Elo Sakinim. These are the knives, the Shechita knives, Kaitanin Taman. It's like we learn over there. Huay Nikra Besa Khalifais. There's two wing extensions of the Ulam, which were called Besa Khalifais, Shisham Hayu Gainzim Esa Sakinim, because that's where they would store their knives. And we actually know that the classic term of a Shechita knife is a Khalif. So that's what the 29 Mechalfim of the Pasuk is, 29 Shechita knives. Continue on, the Mishnah had said, Hilani Imai Asun Reshes Shal Zav Al Pischa Shal Heichal. Munbaz's mother, Hilani, made a golden Nevreshes at the entrance of the Heichal. Now, Trina Mayroin, there's Machleksa Mayroin. Charam, one of them says, Minarta, that it was a Minaira, it was a candelabra. Vacharan Amr, the other one says, Kunvisa, it was like a chandelier of sorts. In other words, one of them holds that it was on the floor, because lamps stand on the floor, and the other one holds that it was hanging, and that's what this Nevreshes was. And actually, in modern Hebrew, a Nevreshes is translated as a chandelier. And we arrive for this because Tirkam Akilas, Akilas, which is the name of a person, he was Matargami, translated the following pasuk of Lakabel Nevrashta to mean Lakabel Lamparas, facing the lantern or the chandelier. And so we see that Nevrashta or Nevreshes is translated as a lantern or chandelier. Now we skip the next line because it's really out of place. It's going to be at the beginning of tomorrow's Gemara, and we just clarify what exactly this Nevreshes of Hilani Amaka was. What was the whole point of it? The answer is Shebeshosh Hoys HaChamz Rachas, because when the sun started shining in the morning, when it was Netzachama, Hayuan Yitzaitis Menatzen Mimena, the sparks or flashes would reflect off of it, and Mahayuan Shazar Chachama, then the sun rose. This is referring to people who were in the Azara while it was still dark outside. The place where Nevreshes was situated in the Azara was perfectly aligned with where the first rays of the sun would peek forth from the horizon, and they'd reflect off of the Nevreshes, and then everyone in the Azara knew that it was ready Netzachama, and then they would start saying Shema. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow discussing the other thing that Hilani Malka did. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.